We all want some level of safety and security. Firefighters, construction workers, EMT. They're all there when you need them to help manage life's chaos. In retirement, you want that same level of safety, but who is there for you to make sure your money will last? Ryan isn't just there in case of emergency. He's there so you don't have an emergency with your money. A safer retirement doesn't mean a boring retirement, but a prepared one full of the things that inspire you. This is Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker.
Welcome to Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker and Brad Geddes of Decker Retirement Planning. You can always find out more on the website, DeckerRetirementPlanning.com. You can obviously go to the heading of Safer Retirement Education. There are 12 different things you can download, including Brian's book on retirement, The Decker Approach, three principles of retirement book. That's there for your taking. And there's other things there. But Brad and Brian are actually going to talk about the three principles book today and talk about really what it is that Decker Retirement does and how it really could affect you, hopefully in a positive way when it comes to your retirement. If you have questions, you want to sit down with the team and talk more about your situation, 833-707-3030. No cost for this, complimentary, 833-707-3030. All right, Brian, I'll throw it to you, but you and Brad are going to get into a little fiduciary standard and suitability standard because those are two big standards in the financial world.
Yes. Hey, Brad, define what a fiduciary is. And there's a lot of people, there's a lot of advisors that say they're a fiduciary. And so tell our listeners how they can weed out who's telling the truth and who's maybe not.
Yeah, the term fiduciary, you hear it time and time again. And since I've been doing this a long time, I do have a little bit of a pet peeve when people don't understand the gravity of what the term fiduciary actually means. I found a lot of people, if you ask them whether their financial advisor is a fiduciary, usually they'll say yes. And they'll be basing it on, oh, they're a nice person, or they seem knowledgeable. They know what they're talking about. I trust them. All those are great things to have as a fiduciary. But the first thing I like to make sure people understand is that it's a legal standard. There is a professional liability that we take on, Brian, as fiduciaries, legal fiduciaries, when we are providing our clients with financial advice. And quite simply, a fiduciary is obligated by law to put their clients' interests ahead of their own or ahead of their own firm's. And it's amazing to me how not normal that is. I like seeing the progress on the fiduciary standard becoming more and more front and center for our regulators and extending the breadth of the fiduciary standard to other firms and individuals that are held to what we know well as the suitability standard. But I like seeing the growth in adoption of the fiduciary standard, but it's just not out there wide enough yet.
So we're going to dive in and spend a lot of time on this first segment. So let's talk about the three ways that you can know whether your advisor is a fiduciary or not. Now, typically, the banker, broker, advisors are not fiduciaries, but let's go through the three-point checklist. And by the way, if you're listening, this is worth jotting a note because it'll be the way that you can find out if your advisor is a fiduciary or not.
Yeah, so I think let's go back and forth on this. I think the first thing that I look for, and while it's not required that someone be independent, I certainly would recommend if someone is looking for a fiduciary that you seek out an independent firm. And I think about this, I usually describe it like this. If you are working with an advisor, and if they're acting as a fiduciary, it starts to raise eyebrows or at least questions. If you look at the end of a planning phase or pulling together a portfolio and the person's employer, the sign on the window when you're walking in, if that is the firm that is producing all of the funds that you own, think of any big bank or brokerage, if the advisor is using exclusively a list of funds that come directly from that firm, well, that starts to raise questions as to if they are providing independent fiduciary advice. So I think—
Can I give an example, Brad? Let me give you an example. So Merrill Lynch, you get Merrill Lynch funds. Fidelity, you get Fidelity funds. Vanguard, you get Vanguard funds. Even though that might not be the best return that is out there in that sector, in that fund segment.
Yeah, and I think about it, if I were an advisor there, there's going to be a boss's boss who sets quotas and requirements for how certain funds get distributed among new clients. And you just start to wonder, at what point are they working on behalf of you versus trying to align what the firm is looking to sell to individuals. And I think when you look for an independent advisor, what you have is someone that's unaffiliated with any particular institution or genre of products that they're looking to place rather than act as a fiduciary on your behalf. So that's always one of the bigger ones. And I like to start with that because, well, it's a good one to start with because a lot of people are backing a horse, right, in the financial world. They have something that they're looking to sell or something that they're looking to align with, as many people will hear them talk. And an independent fiduciary, while required by law to put your interests ahead of their own or ahead of their firm's, is going to be a huge benefit if someone is not beholden to a particular suite of funds.
So number one is to deal with someone who's independent, arm's length to choose the best products available to you. What's number two?
Yeah, I'll let you talk a little bit about this, but I think what you're asking for is a Series 65 license. I mean, we could have a whole episode on different types of licenses. And so, when you set up this company, you required all of your advisors to have Series 65 licenses. So explain that one.
Okay. So a Series 65 license is someone who's required to be very transparent and someone who cannot take securities commissions. A Series 7 license, on the other hand, is someone who has very little disclosure rules and can recommend, I don't know, I'll give three or four examples of some of the products that you can recommend as a Series 7 non-fiduciary advisor with very little disclosure. One is a variable annuity. We don't like them. We warn you against them. The banker, broker makes about 6-7% in commissions right up front. He gets paid every year you own it. The insurance companies get paid every year you own it. The mutual fund companies get paid every year you own it. Three layers of fees that usually add up to 5-7% per year before you make a dime. We don't like them. We don't use them. We warn people to stay away from variable annuities and those that sell them. Second, the highest commission product out there is called a non-traded REIT. 12-15% commissions come out of your money right up front, and they don't price it for 3 or 4 years so that you don't see the hit that you take on your principal from buying it. We don't like them. We don't use them, especially now with all the different REITs, real estate investment trusts, in all kinds of segments that are so good. In our opinion, there's no reason to buy a non-traded REIT. Because of the high commissions, low disclosure that talks about the huge fees, that is strike two. Strike three, and this is one of the slimiest products out there, are C as in Charlie, C-share mutual funds. C-share mutual funds is when you say to your advisor, I don't want any upfront or back-end commissions on my mutual funds. And they say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And then they proceed with no disclosure to tack on a 12B1 fee that doubles your fee from 1-2%, and you never knew it. Now, radio listeners, write this down. If you have C as in Charlie, C share mutual funds, you need to have a discussion with your banker or broker who didn't tell you that they doubled their fees, but now you know that they did. No, there's just no disclosure rules if you're a non-fiduciary Series 7 licensed advisor. Now, I'm going to add one more. This is, in my opinion, the most, this is the slimiest product out there. It comes across really good. And so, Brad, here's how it goes. How would you like it, Brad, if you have a guaranteed 7% for 10 years and then you get paid 4% for life? That sounds pretty good, right?
Yep, that sounds right.
Yeah, so sounds good. And so here's what actually happened. Your $100,000 is at 7% for 10 years. You're age 65 years old. You put $100,000 in this. And for 10 years, it doubles from $100,000 to $200,000. And you get 4% for life. Now you're 75 years old and you get paid 4%. 4% of $200,000 is $8,000 a year. How long does it take at $8,000 a year to get your original $100,000 back with zero return? Well, it's 12 and a half years, 12 and a half on top of 75 years old, 87 and a half. For 22 and a half years, you get a zero return on this wonderful investment. We don't like them. We don't use them. We perform a community service on the radio and in our seminars that we have, warning people to stay away from things like this. These are the things that you can do if you're a Series 7 advisor. No requirement for disclosure, fees that are invisible to the person. They have no idea that their fees were doubled, huge commissions, and very little disclosure. We could never do that. As a Series 65 advisor, we have tremendous disclosure requirements from the SEC and FINRA. That's the second one. I want to also warn against duly licensed advisors. These are advisors that have a Series 7 and a Series 65. So they tell you that they are duly licensed and that's supposed to be in your benefit. Well, it's not. How can you tell when the advisor you're working with is talking out of the Series 7 side of his mouth versus the Series 65 side of his mouth? You can't know that. So we would hope that you work with, in your retirement years, someone who, number one, is independent, and number two, is a Series 65 advisor with requirements of full disclosure of any fees. And the third one, Brad, is pretty quick, so I'll just knock it out. And that is the structure of the firm has to be an RIA, a registered investment advisory company. Those are the three requirements. We purposely structured our company as an RIA, a registered investment advisory company. We are independent. We can use any of the products that are out there. And number three, we are Series 65 licensed. We are a pure fiduciary. I would argue that the biggest decision that people make is who they choose as their advisor, whether they choose to work with a fiduciary or not. That's going to make a huge difference in your golden years of retirement.
Yeah, Brent, and before we close up the conversation on fiduciaries, I think that it's also good to note, just tooting my own CFP horn, if you are talking with a CFP, while they don't have the regulatory authority to, say, carry someone out in an orange jumpsuit, if someone is not acting as a fiduciary, the CFP board is very good at educating all of its candidates on the importance of the fiduciary standard. And so while the individual that might have a CFP might not have the same federal requirements of being a fiduciary, you can know that if you are talking to a certified financial planner, that body, the CFP board governing body, is very, very big on ensuring that all of their candidates and holders of those three letters are upholding the fiduciary standard and all the gravity that that carries. So keep an eye out for that as well.
So if you have any questions about that, you want to talk with Brian and the team at Decker Retirement, you certainly can, or Brad. It is 833-707-3030. So it's good that they went through the fiduciary suitability standards, why it is important they understand who you are working with and what they are able to do and what they've got to be really transparent about. 833-707-3030. Again, this is totally complimentary. There is no cost to you. 833-707-3030. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the three principles of retirement. That's where Brian and Brad are going next, right here on Safer Retirement Radio.
Do you need help assessing your risk tolerance or adjusting your portfolio to help reduce your fees? For help with income planning, set up an appointment with Brian Decker today. Call 833-707-3030. That's 833-707-3030.
Who likes uncertainty? Wall Street certainly doesn't. With near record inflation and partisan politics, there's a lot of uncertainty right now. What will America's future look like? What will your future look like? Will your taxes go up? Will your savings go down? For more than three decades, Brian Decker has seen uncertainty come and go. No matter what the future holds, Brian and the team at Decker Retirement can help you create a plan designed to preserve your finances in uncertain times. And it's not a matter of if those uncertain times will show up, but when. Call 833-707-3030 now to meet with Brian Decker and the Decker Retirement Team. If uncertainty is causing you to feel insecure, Brian Decker can help. Call 833-707-3030 and schedule your visit today. 833-707-3030. Investment advisory and insurance services offered through Decker Retirement Planning, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
You're listening to Safer Retirement Radio. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by DeckerRetirementPlanning.com or call 833-707-3030 to talk to Brian.
Welcome back to Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker and Brad Geddes of Decker Retirement Planning. Brad and Brian are going to talk about the three principles of retirement book, which is available to you just by going to the website, DeckerRetirementPlanning.com, under the heading of Safer Retirement Education. There's 12 different things you can download, but one of those is the Three Principles of Retirement book. So you can do that on the website. If you have questions, 833-707-3030. All right, Brian, where are you guys starting?
We're going to start with principle one, which is drawing income from principal guaranteed accounts versus not. So, Brad, how would you fare if you had your quote unquote safe money in bond funds the last 3.5 years?
Yeah, it's been rough. Classic, I mean, case study in interest rate risk for, I've been telling anybody that I'm working with that is thinking about making a change in their investment advisors, if they have experienced losses in 2022 and even through 2023, if they experienced losses that were above what they expected, like they're looking at their portfolio at some point and they're like, wow, that's a bigger loss than I would have thought given how conservative I am or how I was trying to get off the market roller coaster. I suspect that it's due to exclusively their bond fund allocation. And it's just unfortunate that a lot of retirement oriented advisors use this classic planning rule of, it's called the 60-40, the balanced portfolio, 60% equities, 40% bonds, and most likely bond funds, because they like to marry that up with an income strategy that was popularized in the 90s. It's known as the 4% rule. And I'm sure you're pretty familiar with that, Brian. That 4% rule is used as an estimate as to how long a portfolio could last if drawn upon for 4% of its value per year. So for every $1 million someone has, you can draw 4% out. That's $40,000 a year. It's an estimate. It's a rule of thumb. And I think probably one of the most toxic ways that someone could navigate a lifetime of income when we can expect the markets are not always going to be heading up and to the right like we want them to.
Let's go back to interest rate risk that you hit on with bond funds. From 1940 to 1980, the 10-year treasury went from 2% to almost 15%. 40 years, nice, neat, and tidy, steady growth in interest rates. Then after peaking in 1980, interest rates went down from about 15% on the 10-year treasury down to August of 2020 at 0.47%. Nice, neat, and tidy 40% decline rate structure. So whoever owned bond funds in a declining interest rate environment, they were paid with no principal guarantee, by the way, but they were paid nicely, handsomely. But once you get down to 0.47, you're not making much in interest and you have tremendous downside. And for any advisor to tell their client that they put their, quote, safe money in bond funds, we believe that that is just a breach of what a client should be able to be told in disclosure about the amount of risk that they have. But true to form, banker brokers told people that their safe money continues to be in bond funds. Now, to give you an example, 0.47 on the 10-year treasury would be like investing in the Dow Jones with the most upside you could possibly get of being, and I'll make it up, a 15,000 Dow, and you're at 14,900. You have very little upside. You have huge downside. And to call that safe money is just a head shaker. So that is interest rate risk. You lose money when interest rates go up in your bond funds. The average bond fund in the last 3.5 years has lost over 35%. And then they continue to tell you that is your safe money. So what we do is we draw income from laddered principal guaranteed accounts. And we're going to get into more of that in a second. But Brad, I want to hit this 4% rule. The rule of 4% says that for the last 100 years, stocks have averaged around 8.5%, bonds have averaged around 4.5%. So let's be really conservative and just draw 4% from your portfolio. That should be fine. Well, that works until it doesn't. And when it doesn't, it sends you back into the workforce in a very inconvenient time. So that also, Brad, you hit it, only works in a rising stock market environments. Once you hit a flat market cycle, the 4% rule not only doesn't work, it destroys your retirement. Now, there's been four times that the S&P 500 has traded in flat market cycles. One, and by the way, these were all a result of high valuation, 30 times trailing earnings. That was the valuation that triggered 1929 flat market for 17 years to get your money back. 1964, 18 years to get your money back. November of 99, 14 years to get your money back. And oh, by the way, we hit 32 times trailing earnings November of 2021. If history repeats, we're looking at a flat market where the buy and hold passive investment strategies will yield a zero return over the next 10 to 15 years, buying and holding mutual funds, stocks, ETFs, or indexes. So that's another radio show altogether. You can go to our podcast and see how we navigate that one. But when it comes to a flat market cycle where, and we'll use 2000 to 2014 as an example, but when you're using the 4% rule, William Bengen said that what you do is you draw 4% from your pie chart from your portfolio. Well, in 2000, 01, and 02, the S&P was down 50%. So you were down more, 4% a year times three, you're down 62%. That's if you're lucky, because if the NASDAQ, if you had any exposure to that, the NAS was down 70. But you, let's say you're down 62%. Now, from March of 03 to November of 07, markets doubled. And during that period, that 03, 04, 05, 06, 07, that 5-year period, you're drawing 4% a year. So you don't get that double. It's a stock bond portfolio. And also you're drawing 20% out of your portfolio over those 5 years. And then from November of 07 to March of 03, you lost another 50% plus another 4%. And that's when people said, I've got to go back to work. They had to do a plan B. They had to sell their home, move in with the kids. They had to have a plan B. And so that's why we saw a lot of gray-haired people show up at banks, fast food, Walmart, because they had to. Our clients did not have to do that because of our principle number one of drawing income from laddered principal guaranteed accounts. Brad, 2022 was the most recent example of how we navigated a very tough time. S&P was down 19, NAS down 33, bonds were down 20% just that year, and commodities were down. Our clients, Brad, how much did they lose in our principal guaranteed accounts?
Yeah, principal guarantee means they don't lose anything. And in fact, clients that had, when we're using fixed rates, those simply accrued interest at the rate that they were set up to do. So not only not losing, so defending against losses, but also getting gains where clients are expected to be doing distributions from for the first 5, 10, 15 years of their portfolio.
That's right. So on this first principle of drawing income from laddered principal guaranteed accounts, Brad, are we giving up performance on doing that?
Think about it as instead of just not giving up performance, it's more about gaining more by losing less. So when you strip out the potential for having to recover from negative yields from a downturn in the markets, markets down, you know, famous Dalio saying, if you lose 50% of your portfolio, you have to gain back 100% to get back to break even. So you can actually put your portfolio, when you're using it as a source of income, in a lot better position by simply not losing or protecting the gains that you've had, rather than having to subject those to downturns in the market.
I would say that if the S&P has averaged around 9% for the last 100 years, then these returns that we're getting right now for money markets at 5.1%, 3-year at 5.7, 5-year at 6%, and then 7 and 10-year principal guaranteed accounts above 8.5%, those are pretty good returns for a laddered principal guaranteed portfolio with zero interest rate risk. So that is foundational to the planning that we do. When the markets are in turmoil, when interest rates are going up, people's bond funds are going down, their stock funds are going down, we have geopolitical risk out there with China. Who knows when they're going to invade Taiwan? That's going to rattle the world markets. Our clients stay retired because of that foundational planning principle of drawing income from laddered principal guaranteed accounts. Brad, anything else you want to add to that point?
No, I think we're set. That principal protection is really a cornerstone of our planning methodology. One thing on the 4% rule that I do find useful is it's an accumulation tool. So for people that are not at retirement, when you're in your 20s or your 30s or your 40s, and you're trying to make sure that you're on track, trying to get to a point where you're saving enough to be able to reasonably believe that you're on pace to be able to retire in the future, I actually really like the 4% rule as a way to estimate what someone's probable distribution rate is going to be given a certain cadence of their savings they're adding to their portfolio. You can add in some return metrics, you know, 6%, 8% per year of growth. So my portfolio will likely be in this range if I keep saving for another 10, 15, 20 years out. And at that point, you can estimate spending based on the 4% rule. So for people that are still in the accumulation phase of their life, where you're not actually at the point where you're harvesting from your portfolio, 4% rule works well. What I don't like is that it's a square peg in a round hole for a distribution plan. When someone is at the stage of their life where they're using their portfolio as a source of income, the 4% rule is going to put them at risk because they're going to be harvesting from accounts that are going to go through 3, 4, 5 major market downturns over the course of their retirement. And so while we know they're going to happen, we just don't know when. So our firm likes to recommend that we can protect people against those losses, knowing that they're going to come about.
So if you'd like to learn more, and especially how this really affects you, that's the idea. That's why Brian and Brad do this show, to give you information. And then if something kind of spurs you to go, boy, I'd like to know more about that, I like the idea of that, I would like to learn more, all you have to do is call them. It's totally complimentary. 833-707-3030. Again, it's complimentary, no obligation, no pressure whatsoever. 833-707-3030. It might be one of the more important phone calls you make. Get some clarity into your situation. 833-707-3030. Brian J. Decker, Aaron and Brad Geddes, back with more of Safer Retirement Radio right after this.
If you only think about taxes once a year, you're doing it wrong. To get the most out of your retirement nest egg, you shouldn't just file your taxes. You need to plan for them. Call Brian now to see what tax opportunities you could take advantage of. 833-707-3030. That's 833-707-3030.
Have you noticed the market's roller coaster ride lately? Even a single day's dip can significantly impact your retirement. If the idea of shielding your nest egg from market volatility resonates with you, it's time to talk to the experts at Decker Retirement Planning. Call us now at 833-707-3030. Our unique approach aims to dial down the risk, keeping about 25 to 30% of your assets at risk, instead of the conventional 60-40 pie chart. At Decker Retirement Planning, we don't use a pie chart. We strive to offer you a detailed retirement income plan. It's about seeing the bigger picture, aligning your investments to your long-term goals, and making informed decisions. Whether you're new to retirement planning or already have a plan, we can help. Call Decker Retirement today to learn about the 6 things we do well for our clients that all financial advisors should be doing. Call 833-707-3030 today. That's 833-707-3030. Investment advisory and insurance services offered through Decker Retirement Planning, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Glad you're with us today for Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker and Brad Geddes of Decker Retirement Planning. The opportunity is here for you to find this actual book that they're talking about today. It's one of their giveaways on their website, DeckerRetirementPlanning.com, under the heading of Safer Retirement Education. There's Brian's book on retirement that you can download, The Decker Approach. But there's also the Three Principles of Retirement book, which Brian and Brad are talking about today. And you went through that first principle, which is drawing income from principal-protected accounts versus the 4% rule. Brad said, I like the 4% rule when you're not really pulling money from it. Kind of gives you an idea of where you are before you get to retirement. The second principle, Brian, is?
The second principle has to do with investing with purpose. Not all accounts do the same thing. So for example, there's three parts to the triangle. There's principal protection, guaranteed principal. There's growth, and there's liquidity. So for example, if you've got a money market account, it's principal protected and liquid, but it's not a growth account. Or CDs are principal protected and good rates give you growth, but they're not liquid. And stocks give you growth and liquidity, but they're not principal protected. So Brad, talk about how any plan is, I like to think of it as a bag of golf clubs. You would never play the course with your putter. You would have different clubs to do different things. And so we use in our planning different buckets that do different things. So can you describe investing by purpose?
Yeah, I think of making investments, any investment decision, I like to think about it as more evaluating trade-offs than to making the right or wrong investment decision. I think a lot of advisors out there, they'll sit and like I said earlier, they'll back a certain horse. They'll say, oh, you don't want to go there because that's bad. And really the question is why? Why is that bad? And maybe it can be something objective like that has high fees, therefore it's bad. But in a lot of cases, there's gray area. Is a CD appropriate for everyone? Well, I don't know. A CD just is, and it has some major advantages. It's principal protected. It's going to have a rate of return that's declared, can be evaluated based on its historical rates of return. It just sort of is an investment that ought to be considered. And I do like this concept that you brought up of giving your money purpose. My clients oftentimes have gone 30 or 40 years of accumulating a portfolio using a pie chart. They've built and navigated a lot of very scary markets by just targeting a certain blend of assets. And when they get to retirement, all of a sudden there's a new wrinkle that's thrown in to what they need that portfolio to do. They need the growth that they've always sought after, but now they also need it for other things. They start thinking about, hey, I need to have a place to be able to draw income in the next, not 30 years, but next 3 months or 3 years. Got a portion of their money that they might not need right away, but certainly within 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, they're going to want something that's available to them. And then, of course, they're going to have money that they don't need for 15, 20, 30 years, maybe not even for the rest of their lives. And when you start to think about a portfolio strategy that's aligned with different time frames of your life, well, now you start to cross into evaluating what's the purpose of this money. Is this meant for long-term tax hedging? Is it something that's set aside for beneficiaries? You're trying to make a huge impact on your loved ones or a charity of your choosing. Or perhaps it's something you just want to draw income from for a defined period of time. So giving money purpose to me is you're evaluating three different characteristics. You have certain forms of principal protection, so loss aversion there, trying to not lose. You need to evaluate growth potential. That's the big one, right? We're investing here, so we're looking to part ways with money for a period of time to get a rate of return. And the degree of growth is what's important to weigh here. If you have higher return, you're going to have different expectations than lower return. And then I think the third leg that a lot of people underestimate or under apply, it's liquidity. This is why I like our income planning approach so much, is that we can be really clear, crystal clear with a client on when they're going to need access to those funds. You plan out your cash flow. And that way you can use liquidity to your advantage. You now aren't forced to make this, frankly, impossible choice of risk and return. You know, we all want good rates of return and we all want low or no risk. So when you use the liquidity lever, it actually allows you to have both a good rate of return on funds that you don't need now and eliminate risk from the equation. So I think between having access to your funds in the form of liquidity in the time frame that you need it, the degree of growth that you're expecting on that portfolio holding, and third, that need for principal protection or degree of safety is the third leg that you really need to evaluate. And those three components, where there's crossover between principal protection and liquidity, principal protection and growth, or perhaps growth and liquidity, that's where I spend a lot of time helping people think about their investment strategy.
I want to hit the rule of 100 real quick and then go back and add to what you said, Brad. The rule of 100 says that if you're 70 years old, you should have 70% of your money in bonds, bond funds. We covered in the last segment interest rate risk and how when interest rates go up, bond funds lose money. In the last 3.5 years, bond funds are down over 30%. And so to just have a rule and throw it out there and stay with it when interest rates are going higher and lower is just absolutely nonsense. So we want to warn you that, especially when you're 70 years old, to have 70% of your money in bond funds that have lost over 30% in the last 3.5 years, that just makes no sense to us. So what we do in the structuring of the retirement planning that we do for retirement, we draw income from laddered principal guaranteed accounts. We have areas of the plan that are liquid. We have growth vehicles. But Brad, let's break this down. You said that we've got emergency cash. We've got liquidity carved out of the plan for major purchases. Like let's say you're going to buy a car or you're going to carve out some money for a house or finish off one of the kids' college education. We carve that money out as discretionary income. And we have emergency cash. Where is that money invested, Brad?
Yeah, I think this one's one of the brighter spots of this interest rate environment. I mean, the money markets we're using right now are yielding pretty dang close to 5%. I'm hoping this stays that way because it's been fun to be able to not worry about too much liquidity. It's a dang good rate of return. But I think, you know, shooting for something between 4 and 5% is pretty solid right now for anything that's emergency cash, discretionary cash, flexible spending.
And that's as opposed to banks. The commercial banks, like the big four, what are they paying right now, Brad? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big range, but it's still in the twos, maybe 1, 2, 3%. Some of the good ones. If you're at some of the online banks, I know my online bank is a lot higher. It's like 4.25%, but money markets really seem to be the place to be, especially money market mutual funds in particular.
Actually, Brad, you're a good shopper because most of the commercial banks are under 1% right now. So we optimize, we're fiduciaries to our clients. We make sure that our clients know that they can work their money much harder than 0.5 and get 5, and get 10 times that. Next point, Brad, you mentioned that when we draw income from laddered principal guaranteed accounts, that's a combination of liquidity, less liquidity, 1, 3, 5, 7, and 10-year principal guaranteed accounts. We have cash mixed in there, but that allows us to use compound interest to our advantage. We draw from the lowest earning account, allowing the higher earning account to grow and compound. And that really allows the portfolio to have tremendous growth, even on the principal guaranteed side. Second, we're able to take it through some very tough times like 2022, where the S&P was down 19, NASDAQ down 33, bonds down 20, commodities were down. And our clients actually made money in their principal guaranteed accounts because there's diversification of fixed rate accounts that paid no matter what, like money markets and CDs, and variable rate accounts. And the third is, like you mentioned, Brad, while during the years that we're drawing from laddered principal guaranteed accounts and producing income for our clients for the first 20 years, we carve out around 25% of risk and have that grow more than replacing what they started with. So our clients are enjoying the tremendous income for the first 20 years from 75% of their portfolio. And they're sleeping well knowing that their income is going to be coming whether the markets are up or down, interest rates are up or down, geopolitical events are on fire or not. And they're able to have that peace of mind of drawing that income. And they also have peace of mind that their income is being replaced by the risk portfolio as it grows over 20 years. Brad, anything else on this part where there's investment with a purpose?
I just think it's one of the most important parts of designing an investment strategy that's meant to do something for you beyond just providing more later, right? I think anybody who comes to my office is an important point of distinction that I say is I don't work with people that just simply are looking for a bigger portfolio at some arbitrary date in the future. Those are people, that's what you did in your 20s and your 30s. The people I'm working with have planted a flag or are going to be planting a flag in somewhat near future, 3, 4, 5 years out down the road, where they've officially accumulated the amount that they need to last a lifetime. And at that stage, you need to start thinking about what you saved this for. Is it peace of mind? Is it making a difference in your loved ones' lives? Is it income? Like most people, you need to start having your investment strategy reflect the purpose rather than letting your, say, risk tolerance drive your investment strategy.
So, Brad, you mentioned accumulation versus distribution. You're right. In your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you can use the pie chart. You can buy and hold. You can and should listen to the advisors that are bankers and brokers. They're very good, honest, hardworking people with accumulation strategies. They're very good. Because in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, and 50s, if the S&P cuts your 401k in half, no big deal because your income is coming from work. And every 2 weeks, you contribute to your 401k, taking advantage of dollar cost averaging into a down market. And then the 3 to 5 years it takes for the economy to recover, markets to recover, you actually benefited. But let's switch that. Now you're 65, you're retired, and now the portfolio that you're drawing income for your golden years of retirement, now that's down 30, 40, 50% with you drawing income from it. Your income's not coming from work. It's coming from that portfolio that's down. Now that's a totally different story. When you draw income from a fluctuating account, you compromise gains when markets go up. You accentuate losses when markets go down. And we have a saying that it works until it doesn't. And when it doesn't, that hurts because you have to go back to work.
So if you'd like to learn more and you think about it, You need protection. You need growth. You get liquidity. But there's no single tool that does all three of those. The different worlds, the Wall Street world gives you two of those. The banking world gives you two of those. The insurance world gives you two of those. But none gives you all three. So the question is, what do you need more of here or there? That's what Brian and Brad and the team at Decker Retirement Planning can really help walk you through to help you kind of pinpoint where you are and maybe make some tweaks to make you put you in a better position. Don't really know until you reach out, 833-707-3030, 833-707-3030. All right, we're going to go to the third principle of that, those three principles of retirement. We're headed there next. Stay with us, back with our final segment of Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker and Brad Geddes of Decker Retirement Planning.
As the weather warms, the open roads begin to beckon. If you've been getting the itch to travel, call Brian at 833-707-3030 to make sure you have enough saved to keep the winds of adventure blowing in retirement.
Have you noticed the market's roller coaster ride lately? Even a single day's dip can significantly impact your retirement. If the idea of shielding your nest egg from market volatility resonates with you, it's time to talk to the experts at Decker Retirement Planning. Call us now at 833-707-3030. Our unique approach aims to dial down the risk, keeping about 25 to 30% of your assets at risk, instead of the conventional 60-40 pie chart. At Decker Retirement Planning, we don't use a pie chart. We strive to offer you a detailed retirement income plan. It's about seeing the bigger picture, aligning your investments to your long-term goals, and making informed decisions. Whether you're new to retirement planning or already have a plan, we can help. Call Decker Retirement today to learn about the six things we do well for our clients that all financial advisors should be doing. Call 833-707-3030 today. That's 833-707-3030. Investment advisory and insurance services offered through Decker Retirement Planning, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Safer Retirement Radio. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by DeckerRetirementPlanning.com or call 833-707-3030 to talk to Brian.
Welcome back to Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker and Brad Geddes of Decker Retirement Planning. Again, they're talking about the Three Principles of Retirement book, which is available to you on the website, DeckerRetirementPlanning.com. There's 12 different things you could download, including Brian's book on retirement, The Decker Approach. But the Three Principles Retirement book is one of the things you could download as well. Just go to DeckerRetirementPlanning.com under the heading of Safer Retirement Education if you'd like to read this book yourself. All right, so you guys have gone through Principles 1 and 2. Now you're talking distribution. So our working years, accumulation. Our retirement years, distribution. It's a different mindset, I would imagine.
That's right. So in distribution planning, we don't have a pie chart. That's an accumulation strategy. We have a distribution plan. Now, Brad, I tell this silly, stupid story that when I had a knee replacement, I didn't go to a dentist. Dentists are good people. I went to an orthopedic surgeon because that's what they do. Retirement planning is what we do. We are not accumulation strategists. We're not bankers and brokers. We don't have buying the strategies that they use. So distribution planning, we're a math-based firm. You would expect no less, Brad, than, of course, a spreadsheet. So describe for radio listeners, Brad, the distribution plan, how it works, and how that one distribution plan allows us to do income planning, tax planning, and some of the other benefits of clients. And this is the biggie, able to see net of tax on an annual and monthly income basis, how much money they can draw for the rest of their life.
Yeah, the income plan, it just covers so many of the questions that people have when they first step into my office. It starts to pull together all the principles that we talked about in the beginning. I mean, we talked about importance of a fiduciary, a Series 65 license, of working with an expert. You know, you just mentioned that, where it's what we do, retirement planning. It also applies the investment principles behind how to allocate every dollar to apply purpose to your funds. And so to me, I think an income plan is one of my favorite planning devices for getting to the bottom of how someone can allocate funds to get exactly out of it what they set the money aside for in the first place, right? It's no longer just thinking about someone as, say, a risk number. You know, are you a 6 out of 10? Are you a 10 out of 10? Are you a 2 out of 10? And therefore, here's your portfolio. It's talking more tactically around what is the universe of investment options that are available to someone What are those investment advantages and disadvantages, and how does that apply to your life? You know, it demystifies how someone should invest, and it just carries them so much further beyond that risk number, right? You're much more than a risk number when you're in retirement. You might be a 2 out of 10 on the risk scale for funds that you want as a source of income to cover your daily expenses, but if you're a 9 or a 10 out of 10 on the money that you know that you're grandchild that was just born needs in order to pay for college in 18 years. It's a very different risk scale. So to try to boil someone, distill down someone's risk preferences into an investment strategy for a retirement portfolio just misses the whole point. That's why I think income planning and specifically distribution planning that we like is the best way to land on an investment strategy for someone in retirement.
Hey, Brad, there's the two biggest fears in retirement for people 60 and over in the United States. Biggest fear number one is running out of money before they die. When you look at a pie chart, no person, no matter how smart you are, you can't know how much money you can draw for the rest of their life. So looking at the pie chart, which their banker and broker tell them is their retirement plan, it's not, but they tell them that that's their retirement plan. They have fear of running out of money before they die because they know it's just an estimate. And I'll never forget, I came into the business in 1986 when I had just about a year and a half to build a nice book of clients, and just in time for 1987 Black Monday, October 27th, that was a 20% drop in a day, 30% peak to trough. The next day after Black Monday, so this is October 20th, Tuesday, the manager comes into my office and says, Brian, if you've got any retired clients, tell them that it's probably best to let your portfolio recover. And so I dutifully made those calls. And the incredulity that I got back was, I'll never forget it. Oh, really, Brian? I shouldn't pull my money out right now? Well, why don't you call the people that I pay the bills from every month from this portfolio, and you tell them that I need to have some time to let my portfolio recover. I knew 18 months into my career that the pie chart didn't work for people in retirement. So that number one fear of running out of money before they die, our clients don't have that because they're drawing income from laddered principal guaranteed accounts. And also they can see how much money they can draw net of tax per month. That's number one. The second biggest fear in retirement are these market crashes that roll through every 7 or 8 years. We had a big one in 2022. S&P was down 19, NAS down 33. The average stock account was down 30. Bonds were down 20. And so imagine being early in your retirement and you take a 20% hit in 1 year in your bond account, 30% in stocks. Let's say your $1 million account is now down to what, 750? 750 in 1 year, boom, just like that. So what are you going to say to your friends that have invited you to go to Costa Rica? Oh, you know, Brian, you know, Mark, Brad, I don't think I can go. My portfolio really took a hit. Our clients don't experience that because they're drawing income from laddered principal guaranteed accounts, and they can see how much money they can draw. So that's number one. And number two, markets take a hit. It's very important to have the peace of mind from the two biggest fears in retirement of people in the United States, 60 and over. But Brad, you mentioned that we do the math to see net of tax how much money they can draw. Well, some clients need to have X before they retire. Well, we do the calculations to see how long it takes to get to X. We can help you know when you can retire if you know how much you need. And so that's helpful too. Brad, what else would you add to the income side before we go to the tax planning that we do as well?
Yeah, I got a big one for you. And I know this sort of has to do with the area that I'm in. I'm in Marin County for the majority of my clients. I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area for pretty much the entirety of the people I work with. I do have clients across the country and a couple international. For the most part, I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's a very expensive place for people to retire. A lot of cash flow needs for property taxes. Just a little bit of keeping up with the Joneses a bit. So one of the main benefits I've come across for my clients out here is actually the opposite of what you just described, where people, you know, they need to make sure that their money's going to last them through the next downturn, and they're afraid of being told they have to stop spending. A lot of times income planning in my world, it actually opens the door for them to actually enjoy the spending that they can do in their 60s and 70s. before having a plan, they oftentimes would have gone through their healthiest, travel forward, most energetic years feeling bad about the money that they're afraid that they were going to need in their 80s or 90s. They would have underspent effectively during the years where they value it the most. And so one of the things that I found about income planning that's different from what I originally expected when I first got into this role is it actually lets people spend more and guilt-free spending more at a stage where they really value it. Because before they had that, all they had were these estimates, those Monte Carlo simulations, the 4% rule. But it still kind of lingered in the back of their head without the clarity of where money comes from year to year and why it's invested to produce that source of income at a future date or a planned date. Now, as in so many cases, alleviated that concern that people have that they're going to get to some elevated health expenses in their 80s or 90s and be afraid of running out of money. So I really like that it gives that longer leash to spend more during the years where you value it the most, rather than constantly holding back on things just to leave behind a portfolio for someone else in the future. Still a lovely goal to have, but a lot of people would have done things otherwise. So I really like that part about the income planning approach that we use here.
Also, it allows us to do income planning and tax planning. I've got these numbers in my head, Brad. So I just want to say that for most people, the biggest tax saving strategy they'll have in their lifetime is the Roth conversion. The Roth account grows tax-free, distributes income back to you tax-free, passes to your beneficiaries tax-free. So radio listeners, try to listen carefully to these numbers. A 60-year-old with a $1 million IRA growing at 6% a year. At age 73, they dutifully pay their required minimum distributions, and we killed him off at age 90. How much tax did he pay? Well, in his life, he paid $676,000 in taxes. But wait, there's more, because you have 10 years, according to the SECURE Act, to pay the other $719,000 for a total of almost $1.4 million in taxes. Now, remember that word, $1.4 million in taxes. How much transferred net of tax after 30 years of 6% growth? 1.2. The IRS got more than your beneficiaries. Let that sink in. A $1 million IRA growing at 6% a year. The IRS and the federal government got more than your beneficiaries did in total taxes. The IRA is the most tax inefficient vehicle out there. Congress loves it. The IRS loves it. There's a better way. So in contrast, what if we did a Roth conversion? Say $1 million IRA, 60-year-old, that account converts 225, 225, 225, 50,000 a year, so that by age 73, there's no IRA left. And all that growth is tax-free. Any income produced is tax-free, and it passes to beneficiaries tax-free. How much tax did he pay? Did he pay $1.4 million in tax? No, he paid $319,000 in taxes. Did his heirs get $1.2? No, they got $4.1. So what the distribution plan allows us to do, Brad, is it allows us to look at income and take the standard deduction a way to get an AGI adjusted gross income and look at tax tables for clients so that they can see, so that we can see and help them know how much Roth conversion that they can do each year. And that lets us see, without raising your bracket, how much money we can convert in a year. And we also have the account that generates the tax, pay the tax through withholding at the state and federal level. So this allows us to proactively pay taxes now so that that account can grow tax-free, distribute income back to you tax-free, and pass to your beneficiaries tax-free. There's a window of 2024 and 2025 before the Trump tax cuts are reversed and we go back to 2016 rates, which is mostly a bump for everybody. So please take advantage of the next 2 years and know that this account, this Roth conversion, is for most people the biggest tax saving strategy they have left. If we grow your $300,000 IRA to $3 million in 20 years, are we doing you any favors? No. Now you owe taxes on $3 million when you could have paid tax on $300,000. What we want to do for our clients is grow a $300,000 Roth to $3 million tax free. That's the goal. Brad, what else is there before we close this show?
I think you nailed it, Brian, especially with that tax component at the end with distribution planning, just putting purpose behind your money, using principal guaranteed accounts to draw income and mapping it all out over a lifetime using a distribution plan rather than an accumulation plan.
So you got two options. You can go to the website, DeckerRetirementPlanning.com, under the heading of Safer Retirement Education. And you can actually get the three principles of retirement book. You could download it. There's 12 different things you could download, but that's one of them. And that's what Brian and Brad were talking about today. Or you can always give them a call. Say, hey, I'd like to learn more. How does this really affect me? What should I be doing maybe a little differently? And I don't even know better. 833-707-3030 is the number. 833-707-3030. No cost, totally complimentary. Brian, Brad, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Have a great week.
Security and insurance services offered by Decker Retirement Planning, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual. Situation. Decker Retirement Planning is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during this show shall constitute tax or legal advice. Our firm is not affiliated with or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Decker Retirement Planning. This radio show is a paid placement.